But now, staying in the media, kind of, two journalists and a podcast. One that ponders what it means to be a man in New Zealand in 2021, which is a very big subject, clearly. And is tackled in the podcast out this month called He'll Be Right. The six-part series talks to a number of men from diverse backgrounds about masculinity and the issues, challenges and expectations facing the modern Kiwi male. We welcome the podcast host, Glenn McConnell from Stuff, who's in the Auckland studio. Kia ora, Glenn.
Hey, how are you doing?
Really good, thanks. Welcome also to Bird of Paradise Productions' John Daniel, who's on the line from Hawke's Bay. Kia ora korua, welcome.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks for having us.
You are welcome. So, John, when did you get the idea for this one? Last time it was a family sort of mystery in some ways that led you down the path of a significant podcast. What was the genesis for this one?
Well, I guess it was a bunch of things. One of the things was I came back from France 4 or 5 years ago, having played rugby over there quite seriously for a while and having been in touch with this very French male rugby culture that had that wore its emotions very close to the surface, I guess, if not on its sleeve. And the French are kind of very good at harnessing those emotions in different ways. And it was, although at times, kind of terrifying with the level of emotional intensity in a changing room before a game, which can go from anywhere from weeping with emotion to outright headbutting and sort of anger being used as a vehicle to get themselves going on the field. And I came back to New Zealand and saw how many, you know, how different the male culture here was and how many things, I guess, in a way I was getting wrong myself around some of that. I can remember finding myself quite early on in a meeting with a TV producer and realising, sort of catching myself talking over her, and these sort of really uncomfortable bits of sort of everyday sexism that had crept into my behaviour one way or another. And so I guess I had a feeling that I wasn't necessarily getting this right. And I think a lot of other men perhaps had that feeling around, you know, we also had at the same time, we had obviously the Harvey Weinstein stories, Me Too, and Donald Trump coming to power as a kind of the embodiment of a strong man. Who seemed to sort of seduce enough of the American public with that idea to become president. So it seemed to me kind of really relevant, not only for me, but also kind of for wider society to have a good look at this. And you know, obviously people already were. And so rather than getting too dug into a sort of a top heavy or looking down from the top, what we wanted to do was go out and meet a lot of Kiwi people, Kiwi men, but we also talked to a lot of women in the podcast and get a feel for how they were coping with this, how they were grappling with masculinity and its many forms, and kind of, you know, where the story goes from here.
See, I wanted to ask you what the this is. How did you focus the this? Obviously, it's a hugely broad subject. It affects, you know, half the population. There are things that might be seen as great vulnerabilities, and then there are behaviours clearly that have been problematic for others, and we could categorise away till the cows come home. How did you focus on what the this is?
Well, we came at it from, Glenn and I are kind of quite different in the sense he's 25 years younger than me, he's Māori, he is a university student at the moment, so we came at it from very different angles from the start, and we spent a lot of time talking about that, about what the right way in might be and who to go to, and we had some, you know, great help from Stuff, from Patrick Crutzen and Carol Hirschfeld around that as well, and of course, talking to my wife and partner at Bird of Paradise Productions, Noel McCarthy, who we've had some robust discussions around the patriarchy and its influence on society over the last few years, but we didn't want to get into a very narrow view of this is what it means to be a man and this is the right formula, because I think that's quite dangerous. And one of the great things we've seen over the last 20 or 30 years is this opening up of society around what the possibilities are for a man, and to try and move away from some of the heavier and less useful expectations that had kind of grown up around this and kind of become a trap. So I think it was just getting out into the field and talking to people about their everyday experiences, and that led us on from kind of one thing to another. And look, you know, spoiler alert, we don't come up with a flat sentence, you know, to say this is the right way to do it, because I think if anyone, you know, it's a very complex subject, and anyone who thinks there is an easy answer to it probably isn't looking hard enough.
Glenn, can I bring you in? What was your starting point? Because we've talked about the how to do it, and for me, I'm really interested in the other side of things, which is what is it like to be, and what are the vulnerabilities, whether they're acknowledged or not, and what are the discomforts? And I'm curious as to what your starting point was as you came to the project.
Yeah, well, you know, the tagline for this project was kind of how to be a modern man, but I was, I guess, drawn to do it because it's so obvious that there are many ways that you shouldn't be a man, and some of these ways I think have become quite normalised, and that goes right, you know, from the obvious of, you know, abusive men to, you know, men who just don't want to talk about their own concerns, their own emotions, or who are trying to, you know, live up to expectations that are impossible to meet. And that, you know, from talking to people in this podcast, it seems like that brings a lot of, you know, real serious stress and trauma to men, but also the families and communities they're part of. So I was hoping by joining this, you know, project with John, that we'd maybe be able to, you know, have discussions that typically Kiwi men wouldn't be having, or even find solutions to help men maybe, you know, looking for answers.
Who are some of the people, one or two of the people who really had an impact on you and really, you know, made you think about something differently or see something for the first time?
In this, that's a tricky one. In this series, I would often look back at Carl and Po Temita, who we speak to on the episode out on Saturday. He's a professor of tikanga, and they're pretty traditional men. Carl's an all black and you know, talks a lot about family responsibility and stuff. And it made me think that, you know, having some framework, some cultural connection, identity being really strong in your own, you know, place is vital. It helps so many people. Whereas, you know, maybe before I would have been kind of, you know, let's just tear up the rule book or something. I don't think that anymore.
John, for you personally, I was reading an article that you were quoted in just a few days ago, and you mentioned the sort of what has been the archetypal perception of the Pākehā male anyway, you know, which is to have the successful job and provide the home and, you know, parent the kids and have some trophies on the wall of some kind or other. And there was one conversation that made you rethink that perception. I think you were talking to someone's daughter. Can you recap a bit more about some of the stereotypes that actually have been lived out and whether you are hearing and seeing change?
Yeah, well, that conversation in particular took place a couple of years ago, and she was saying to me, you know, I say in the article that I had interviewed her father, who, as far as I could see, was a successful businessman and a very nice bloke, and who, you know, managed to buy himself some beautiful property and kind of take early retirement. It so seemed to me to be a kind of fantastic example of where I might want to be. And she really pulled the rug from under my feet by saying that he'd made a mess of his life. In fact, by doing all these things, getting these sort of great jobs, which it took him away from her and her family, her mother, and that actually now what he'd come to realise was that he wanted a really close relationship with her, and that the time for that had already passed. So I guess it was around also reframing some of the things that we prioritise, and that we think, you know, society gives us a lot of these cues that we fall for almost without thinking. And look, there's a lot of tension around that sort of stuff as well, because, I mean, you know, you're just talking to Rod Orr about house prices. Well, you know, somebody's got to get out there and make money. It's a competitive society. It's very tough out there at the moment in lots of ways. And in a sense, society is divided more than ever into winners and losers. And so you kind of, it's very hard to choose kind of which mask to wear almost. You know, you feel like you need to get out there and do the mahi so that you can provide for the family. But at the same time, what if that takes you away from them, from this most important, you know, the most important relationships you can have? So it's really grappling with all that sort of stuff. And of course, masculinity is so complicated because it bleeds into all sorts of other areas, you know, like capitalism or even kind of colonialism and science and history. So, yeah, again, it's such a vast topic. And we just tried to approach that. And the podcasts are great for this sort of thing because you can become, you know, quite intimate with your subjects and hear them tell their own stories in a way that is often sort of surprising. I mean, just you were asking Glenn about who struck him in particular. I was really delighted to meet Scout Barbara Evans in Dunedin. Scout is Tikatapui, gender fluid, and I can remember reading some of their articles that they'd written and kind of thought that they were trolling people like me, but it was just a really great open-hearted meeting that allowed me to see, you know, sort of see some of their perspective on things and kind of not be afraid, as it were, of this very, very different view on the world. And in a funny sort of way, I think one of the things that came out of the story for me is that trans people, to an extent people in the queer community, are really, you know, who have previously perhaps been marginalised, are really changing things by changing people's ideas around, you know, what it does mean to be a man, to play with these gender roles that we have found so constraining for so long.
Glenn, there's a generational factor here, no doubt, as well. Are you seeing, as a journalist, as someone who obviously spends time talking to people and you know, observing what's happening in the culture, do you see a difference between generations, and is it positive or negative what you are seeing when it comes to perhaps younger generations and their sense of freedom versus constraint about who they can be?
Well, I think the changes couldn't be much wider, to be honest. There are so many different ways people now express themselves and define who they are. That's not for everyone, though. Obviously, there are a lot of conservative families and more conservative young people as well. You know, it isn't a unanimous decision among, you know, everyone under 25 years old. So there is, a lot of hope, though, that young people are a bit more accepting of how, you know, people choose to identify and express themselves, and that can only be good. But I think there are also some new challenges as well. You know, we didn't expect to talk about porn in this podcast at all, but it, you know, it was brought up all the time by experts and some of the serious topics like abuse. You know, that could be a major issue for new younger generations.
It's not even porn, really, is it, these days? I keep saying I don't have any problem with porn or erotica. I do have a problem with videoed sexual violence that's portrayed as porn or erotica. And is it missing? Is it genuinely missing with a lot of young men?
I think it is, but I don't think people, you know, no one wants to talk about pornography and about sexual violence at all. But you know, when I started having conversations like this, just with friends and with people around the place, everyone seemed to have a story, and that shocked me. So I spoke to a few people after this podcast, and you know, the experts are now saying that children quite young, shockingly, like 12, 11 years old, are influenced by this. So, you know, there's hope, but there's also definitely some new challenges for modern men.
It's such a potent wiring that goes on, and that's the real danger of this stuff. We're not talking about whether you like to eat broccoli or not. It's a potent life force that's being messed with so young. On the question of what gets people talking, Glenn, mythological or not, it's, you know, the stoic male never has much to say. He never even talking about his feelings or whatever. What would each of you say about what is it that gets people talking about the subject without feeling under threat or like they're getting preached at, which I can quite understand some people might feel, because there's been a hell of a lot of publicity and discussion that's gone on, very importantly, but I can understand how it might make someone feel threatened or put upon. What is it that would get or does get people talking about this stuff?
I really didn't want our podcast to be a lecture or, you know, this is really, we're talking to men around the country to share their own experiences with masculinity. And everyone kind of connects with this in a different way. I've had people get in touch to say that our episode about domestic abuse really connected with them, and they're saying that they hadn't realised that, you know, the behaviour in their home was potentially abusive until listening to our podcast. I do hope that men will listen to this. A lot of women have got in touch saying that they really, really appreciate, you know, these discussions being had, and they can see the importance of men, you know, looking at their own identity, culture, behaviour. Because it does impact everyone. It impacts not just themselves, but their families too.
Thanks, both of you, very much for that. I think there's still at least a couple of episodes still to land. Is that right, John?
Yes, that's right, different. Yep, two more this weekend.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Glenn McConnell and John Daniel, who have the podcast, He'll Be Right Out.